Welcome to the Desperately Seeking Self podcast, the podcast that's exploring the not-so-filtered side of life and giving you no BS strategies, tips, and tools, and maybe a little laughter along the way, so you can fall in love with your life again. I'm your host, Brooke Collins. Let's get started. Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Desperately Seeking Self podcast. I'm your host, Brooke Collins. If you're new here, welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. Today, I have a very special guest on with me, and I'm very excited to get into this conversation with her. And she happens to be an old client of mine, which is cool, and also in a roundabout way has become an editor for my stuff, for my proofreading and podcasting and just freelance doing some stuff for me. So it's all intertwined together. And she's also just become a very dear friend. So I'm so glad that she's here. My, what do I call you, Anna? This is Anna King, my former client. Hello. And I don't know, extraordinary person.
I think it varies depending on, you know, where we're at. Lots of true. Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So I wanted to bring you on because today we're talking about trauma healing, which you know a whole lot about, and how that brings about self-awareness or how it's connected to self-awareness. So I think like the episode is titled, I think appropriately, From Autopilot to Self-Awareness. And you know something about that, don't you?
A little bit.
Just a little bit?
Just a little.
Well, let's talk about, so you and I worked together 2 years ago, 18 months ago about, and
I think it was, yeah, May of 2020 when I hired you.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Wow. Like 2 years almost. Ooh, oh, no. We're like moving along.
I'm serious.
But like, well, when you came to me, you were, visibly suffering even in a Zoom, because I had stopped doing in-person coaching. So it was on a Zoom and you were visibly shaken and suffering. And the one thing that I remember the most about our initial clarity call was your drive to get out of the feeling that you were feeling, you're wanting to change, including but not limited to an entire essay of what do I need to know pre-session of where you're at and what was happening. But you know what? I've thought about that a lot because that helped me, one, prepare, obviously, because you did have an extensive amount of, unfortunately, traumatic situations in your life. But then to be so open and like, here, I'm ripping the Band-Aid off so that you're aware of all this, because I don't feel like having to waste the time in the session going through that. To me, that was like a marker of a woman who like was ready to dump the baggage and the pain. Mm-hmm. So what do you think pushed you to, I guess, get into coaching and start your growth to self-awareness?
Well, I mean, I did, as you know, like a ton of therapy for probably the vast majority of my life. And I just remember getting to a point where I felt like therapy was enabling me to just keep almost sitting in it and continuously talking about the trauma and the pain and with no real forward progress. And so I got to a point where I knew that I needed more, and I needed like steps, and I needed accountability, and I needed someone to push me. And I remember the moment I was sitting at work and talking with someone at work and kind of talking about the frustration. And she was like, well, have you ever thought about life coaching, like looking for a life coach? And I was like, what? No. But after she said that, I think, honestly, I think I was still at work and I started looking and like searching for life coaches and life coaches near me and all of that stuff. And yeah, I just got to that point where I knew that I needed something more.
What would you say like made you book the call? Not necessarily with me, but if even if it wasn't me, which I'm glad that it was, because I Well, I'm glad my medicine just dropped. I'm glad that you wound up in my life. And I
Same.
say all the time that there was something different about my call with you. Like I could feel, I could just sense there was a bigger purpose to this conversation. And from the day that we first day we talked, I've always been very connected and felt more of a, I mean, I'm not crazy amount of years older than you, but I am a significant amount of years older. And, but I always had this like more maternal kind of connection to you, like feel like you just, you know, at the time, especially just needed someone to like hug you. So what was it that you think, if it wasn't me, like, what do you think that people could look for if they're looking for, like, what was it that you were like, okay, I'm going to click book an appointment?
I tend to look, I mean, like I look through the whole website and I read like the bio and, you know, reviews and stuff like that, but it's typically bios, like what I think the level of vulnerability, that's put out there. And then like in your bio, I know that you talked about some of your past experiences, and while we have some differing experiences, there was just something that, like, about the way that you wrote, and just, I don't know, there was just something there in your bio that I was like, okay, like, she gets it. I just could feel through the words that you wrote in your bio that, like, you got it. You've been there, you've done the work, and like, you could help me get there. And I had actually booked a call with one other person prior to finding your website. And the call I booked with you was supposed to happen before the other one. And as you know, when we did our call, I literally like was like, okay, let's do this on the call. So
yeah,
I ended up obviously canceling my other one.
Always fun. Always fun. When it's like, when it feels that, like, you know, I guess the universe, there's a lot of synchronicities that lined up in my theory of when people are put the down payment deposit and they're like ready to roll, like it's going to be like an awesome experience. Typically I have found with other clients as well. So you have done so much work. I'm trying to phrase this without like unpacking your whole life. You have done so much work on healing a lot of trauma. And when I say trauma, you have significant trauma. Not there's different types of trauma. Anna in particular struggles with what you could find in the textbook for trauma happening in childhood, happening in mid-adulthood. She's had a lot of things that have happened that should not happen to a person. So working with you was also an interesting step, because I was the first time, no, like the third time, but really the first time where I suggested that, I mean, I knew I was in over my head for some of the stuff once we started digging into the exercises and could sort of see where it was heading, and you were not sliding backwards, but the raw in the wound was open. And like, I am not a therapist. And I say that all the time in our, especially in my sessions, not so much on the podcast or my social media, but like, I'm not a therapist. I'm not gone to school for like all this time to specialize in these things. So I can't diagnose or treat anyone for any illnesses, mental illnesses. So I suggested, you know, like, I think that you need a therapist also in tandem with me, because I can't handle all of this. There's so much that you have to work through. So you did get a therapist, and she was phenomenal. She emailed me. You had given her, like, you signed just access that I could see the, you know, your charts and stuff, which most clients don't willingly do. So Anna's a unique example for people looking, listening to this, that she truly, these are the types of things that people do when they're ready to heal, when they're ready to grow, and when they're sick of their own bullshit and they want to move on and eliminate half of the stuff that they are, you know, sabotaging themselves with. So in signing over her, I was the medical waiver form. I was allowed to hear what the therapist, what she was telling the therapist. And her and I emailed and followed up with one another quite frequently that summer. And I mean, she was phenomenal too, just asking me what modalities I was using. Mm-hmm. Well, why? And she would ask, like, well, what's the purpose of that meditation? Or what's the purpose of that, you know, using these affirming statements or this inner child work? And so I would explain it. And then she'd be like, oh, brilliant, you know, or she'd be like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe not, maybe scale it back a little bit. Like, her and I truly collaborated in your treatment. And that was the most beautiful, like, experience for me, just to be able to collaborate with a therapist, because it doesn't happen very often. There's not many therapists who are willing to do that. They're busy, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just like seeing someone who is so ready to be done. And, you know, one of the things that we struggled with, so here's where we struggled. I would ask you questions, because that's what coaching is, right? Like, reflection questions. And I don't know. That was your response for, I mean, I would ask a simple question, and it was, I don't know. And finally I said, I don't know is not an answer. You can't say I don't know to me anymore. Like, it's not an answer. It's bullshit. You do know. Yeah. You just don't want to say it. And then I started to recognize that it was a trauma response with the I don't know, because you truly, there was nothing there. You didn't know. And it took a long time to open you up to be able to actually respond and answer without being like, oh yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Which obviously needed to happen. And that's the way that the progress goes. But you were so disassociated from yourself, I think, was the saddest part of all of the stuff you were going through, was that you were disconnected and had no ability to even plug into your physical being. And I know that there's work that's being done that you've done recently, but it's unbelievable to see someone go through what you went through that summer we were together. I'm not going to share it, but it was very sad and difficult. But also, obviously, we look back on it now, both of us, like, a necessity for things, you know, to happen. You had, I don't know, like, a hospitalization. Edit that out if you don't want that in there. But, like, so there was just, you know, and you were calling me, and, you know, I was really busy that summer, but my husband was like, you know, you don't have to, like, you can put, like, you can just say, and there's something in, like, with every fiber of my being, it felt like if I didn't answer you, I mean, obviously there were times I couldn't, cause I was with working, but, like, I made sure to talk to you daily, because I just couldn't help but think, like, if it was one of my kids in your position, and they weren't in my life, and they were on their own, and they didn't have family around them, I would want someone that they trusted to be there to help them and to like, love them. So I tried my best, you know, to do that without, like, losing focus of what we were working toward, and not getting too wrapped up in the problem to be able to see the problem. So what do you think, going through that experience of being cracked open, and then, I don't want to say hitting the breaking point, I would say it was a breaking point.
A little bit.
and then having to, I mean, I don't give myself any of the credit, it's all you, but having to put yourself back together again in a new, it's like gluing the pieces together in a different, you know, range, like a different area. And what do you think was the lesson that you've learned, I guess? Because you can talk about, obviously, your experience, but also focusing on, you know, your lesson. What do you think you learned from that whole experience?
So I guess, in the interest of full disclosure, which, I mean, you know, I'm pretty much an open book these days. So I had a pretty bad summer in 2020 where I think I had spent so much of my life avoiding feeling anything, overworking so that I was always busy. I didn't have to feel things. I didn't have to face things that I didn't want to face that were very hard to face, and got to a point where I think life was just like, no, like you have no other choice but to face it. And I hit an incredibly low point and was in and out of the hospital about four times, maybe five times over the summer with some very severe depression and suicidal thoughts and just really struggling. I think that everything that I avoided trying to feel was just forcing its way into my life. So I feel like there were a lot of lessons there, right? But a lot of it too was just one, like, I mean, realizing like you can only run for so long. Like you can't avoid things forever, no matter how hard you try. You can't shove them down, like it's gonna surface at some point. And I think learning to have to start facing that and feeling those things was a big step for me and is still a learning curve for me. But also I think the vulnerability, and for the first time in my life, instead of trying to handle everything on my own and trying to make it look like I was fine, I really like I was incapable of doing that because it was such a low point. And so I had to let people help me. And that is a very difficult thing for me to do. And I had to let people help me and to let people see me at the worst I think I've ever been. So I think those are probably two of the biggest lessons.
Would we say that you let people willingly help you? You're willing to. I started to.
It was the beginning of a ever growing thing that I'm trying to learn. You know, still a little self-sufficient over here, but
work in progress.
But you know, the start of that. But I think more than anything, too, it was just letting people see me and how much I was struggling and admitting how much I was hurting and struggling, because that was not ever something that I admitted growing up or felt like I could admit. It was something that I felt like I always had to pretend wasn't there. And obviously at that point, being in the place that I was, like that just wasn't an option anymore.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you went the route that you did, not the major depression and the hospitalization. I mean, that's not something I want anyone to have to go through, but I'm glad that you came to the point of, you know, I compare it to like when I got sober, like if I didn't allow myself to grab onto someone else mm-hmm. who was helping pull me out of this dark place, like I was going to drown in it. Like mm-hmm. I was going to be gone. So mm-hmm. I know the gift of desperation. It doesn't seem like a gift in the time frame in the moment, but usually most people will look back on those types of moments and it's a gift because it changes your life in an instant when you make that mm-hmm. choice. What you described too actually is something worth noting, just because you know, when you aren't able to share how you're feeling, it creates that trauma response, right? Which mm-hmm. we talk about a lot because we're nerds who are like obsessed with personal development and like growth and evolving and whatever. But you know, trauma responses are real and they are there because of ways we were forced to soothe ourselves, to be there for ourselves. You know, most of us had families we couldn't rely on, so we relied on ourselves, so we're self-sufficient. You know, like I really lately like that one quote, it was going around Instagram and TikTok forever, like, but like being self-sufficient and doing everything, not allowing people to help you or whatever, is not independence. It's like a trauma response.
Yeah,
So you're not supposed to like
not
be
actually
that
healthy.
way. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, I was like such a great single mom. Like, yeah, no wonder. Like, I can do it all. I still can do it all. My husband has to jerk me back to reality about letting go of things to this day. So we all struggle continually with things all the time. I think that healing is becoming aware of yourself.
100%.
And what you need and how to fulfill that need in a healthy way, not a numbing way, right? So like when you, like, I just think it's so funny because if you look at how fragmented your life was 2 years ago, you had parts of yourself surviving independently, and then you had parts of yourself, you know, turning against the other parts to like fight for something different, is right? Don't you think?
Oh yeah. I was very confused to say the least.
Well, I think a lot of times when you're in that zone where you never dealt with the emotions, which I didn't either. That was my thing, was like, push it down, push it down, push it down, push it down until you explode. Like when you don't do that, when you don't allow yourself to feel the emotions and to heal, like it's, you become so consumed with not feeling, like whether you're overworking or overcompensating by doing a million things for other people, or like codependency comes into play because you start taking on other people's problems to handle and fix and to deal with instead of dealing with your own stuff. But you, I think, have gone from a fragmented woman who was torn in every, I mean, in every area you could be torn. There was like, you were at this crossroads in every part of your psyche, left or right, right or left, left or right. Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I do this or do I not? Do I do this or do I not? Like everything was a struggle to even make a decision. Don't you think that in becoming self-aware, you started to see what?
I mean,
I don't know.
I feel like I've gotten better at that though. Side
yeah,
note.
You have. You have.
You know, we're, again, work in progress. But yes, in God, self-awareness. It's kind of crazy to think back on. You know, like we tend to get so focused on where we want to be that we tend to forget to look at where we've been and where we are now. And I do that a lot because, like you said, I'm pretty obsessed with self-development and growth. And so I'm always trying to figure out the next way that I need to grow. But I mean, in self-awareness, it was honestly a lot of, I think the hardest part was facing the ways that I was hurting myself, like the self-sabotaging. Because I mean, I talked about the trauma, you know, I was obviously aware of the trauma in my life. Like I had been talking about it or trying to talk about it for years in therapy. But I think, like I said earlier, you can only talk about that stuff for so much. But I feel like for me, and I will actually never forget this, I think it was right around the holidays. I think it might've been Christmas and you guys were in Florida. And I remember, I think I sent you an email because as we know, I'm very wordy. And I was like, I'm not going to send this in a text because it'll be a novel. But I remember saying like, I can't do this anymore. Like I can't keep making the choices that I have been making, knowing like God, I don't know. Like, I just, like you said, the gift of desperation. Like, I was finally sick of my own bullshit. Like, I knew that at this point in time, I was just perpetuating that cycle. And I think in that self-awareness, like realizing that was one of the hardest things. But what really kind of moved the needle forward. And in some ways, I think recognizing and admitting the ways that I was sabotaging myself might have been honestly harder than talking about some of the trauma. So that was like a pivotal moment for me. And I think that's where a lot of the real work began, was recognizing, facing, and admitting those ways that I was blowing my life up, and then starting to do the work to try to undo that and undo the, you know, the core beliefs and all of those things. And I think that that was where it all changed for me.
Yeah, it's incredible. Again, I'm so proud of you. I get like, it's so awesome to hear you, because you really were, for a long time, you lived in this space of trying to hide emotions and contain them. And in an attempt to contain your emotions and diminish, right, mm-hmm. what you're feeling, it starts amplifying and it's wants the attention, and it's amplifying and mm-hmm. it's amplifying, and you're, you know, you start to like really feel trapped by mm-hmm. the cycle in which you're trying to hide the pain. And so there's like the conflict between that part you're trying to contain and hold tight to so that nobody can see it, and then feeling your own, you know, unmet needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add the feeling of trapped on top of, you know, of you feeling trapped by the trapped parts of the stuff you're trying to contain, and then your unmet needs, right? I mean, it's, so it's wanting to survive, but I think knowing that we don't face punishment or abandonment, which has been a lesson for you, no matter where we land, right? Like, there's no villain here. You're not going to be thrown out because you say how you're feeling. Nobody's going to abandon you. At least anybody that's worth a shit is not going to abandon you because you say how you're feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, you know, you and I talk a lot about fight or flight mode, survival mode. We say a lot, I think a lot more lately, but like, you know, when you have that automated containment system, like you were struggling with, and sometimes you revert back into it. I do too. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. the nature of healing trauma from your childhood and mm-hmm. beyond. Most people don't realize when you have a severe trauma from childhood, whether that's a abuse in your home, they say like a death of an immediate family member, you know, like within your home. And then, you know, obviously like a fire, a war, whatever, that kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. when you have that, you really stay in fight or flight mode. And here, fight or flight mode, punishment is fight and abandonment is flight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to like stop with the internal conflict in thinking that we're going to be punished if we do this, or we're going to be abandoned, because it's a lose-lose situation. There is mm-hmm. no winning when that's the, when you're stuck in that mode, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have dug deep to really look at your self-sabotaging behaviors. And for the everyone who's listening, she's very analytical, very fact and data driven. So polar opposite of me, who's just like, I'm feeling the vibe of going over here. This is working. We're doing it. Like, it's got to be very detail oriented and written and in a PowerPoint presentation ready mm-hmm. and prepared for everyone to view.
Oh yes. And overworded and, you know,
yes.
The whole nine
yeah. It's wonderful. But that's like how you work. But like uh-huh. knowing that you wouldn't have been safe, didn't feel safe to share how you're feeling or what you're going through, and instead choosing to sabotage yourself by maybe working too much or taking on stuff for other people and not saying no to things you should for fear of like the punishment or abandonment that comes from it. And you have a unique situation because you, I think the fight or flight mode, and I have said this to you from day one, but like you are adopted. Mm-hmm. You are in an open adoption, which I think is, I'm not sure if they're rare or common, actually. I
don't know. I feel like they are more, I mean, it's less frequent than the closed ones, but I think at least when I, like the time that I was adopted, I think they might've been a little bit more rare.
But don't yeah, oh, for sure.
That. Yeah.
I know for sure. Which I think that gives you a little bit more insight, not as a kid, but as an adult, to understanding certain choices and unmet needs and like being able to look at things. But, you know, they say like adoption, it's a core wound, like mm-hmm. not because someone was trying to harm you or do it, you know, they were doing what was best for you. It's really a selfless act. I could 100%. Never do it. I say that about Julie all the time. Like I could never, mm-hmm. I give her all the credit in the world for being able to put a child up for adoption. Anybody who is able to be that selfless mm-hmm. and help another couple be or woman or whatever, become a family and have a baby. Like I can't commend people who do that enough. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that the child doesn't grow up and feel certain things and have to go through certain things, but you've come out the other side, I think, for the most part. And I think when you have those traumas from the get-go, healing isn't your first thought.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and we've talked about the adoption piece before, and I think up until recently was always like, yeah, no, that doesn't have an effect on me. Like, you know, like,
what are you talking about? Doesn't have an effect on me.
I'm fine. But it took up until, very intense healing retreat that I did to recognize that there was, you know, some like a subconscious wound of abandonment, even though I logically knew and I never once felt like abandonment in a sense, mm-hmm. like never once did I think towards my birth mom, like, oh, you abandoned me. Like, I always feel like from day one, I have known and accepted and trusted that, like, I know without a doubt that she loved me, and that choice to put me up for adoption was out of like the most immense love, because she knew that she wanted more for me than she was able to give at that time. And like you said, to make that sacrifice to give up a child is like unimaginable. Like even being adopted, I don't know if I could do that. So that I have realized lately does, you know, play a little bit of a role, but also a lot of my other trauma started when I was like 6. And so when you are so young and you face some very, I don't even know what word to use, but you face some very hard childhood abuse at the hands of a family member, like it, at what point as a child, right? Like you're growing, and when these things happen at such a young age, I mean, and I've heard, again, it's like the self-awareness, right? Like I logically know all these things, but when a trauma happens at a young age, you almost get stuck in that age. So I feel like a lot of me and the way that I've responded to situations, I was responding as that 6-year-old or that 8-year-old or 12-year-old or whatever age, and being so young and having that abuse happening for years, I never did feel safe to, you know, feel my emotions because I was threatened to keep my mouth shut. And so it definitely plays a role, obviously, into how you you know, are as an adult when you learn so young that you're not safe to feel your feelings, you're not safe to talk to anybody, and that just gets ingrained in you. And you don't really recognize until you're forced to how that's affected your entire life. Like every aspect of your life following those situations are affected by what happened and the survival skills that you learned, and you carry those long after you need to use them anymore.
Perfect. That's perfectly said. I mean, description wise, like that's perfect. My timer is going to go off telling me that we're taking too long.
Well, are we surprised?
No, not at all. So I think that one thing people don't seem to understand, or I don't want to say understand because that seems like judgy kind of, but I think one thing people don't grasp is in finally allowing yourself to feel and finally finding a safe place to share how you're feeling without judgment, whether that was with me in our sessions, whether that was with your therapist, whether that was with a friend that you were trusting, wherever it was like flexing a muscle. The more you do it or did start doing it, the more, the stronger it became, you became in sharing how you're feeling and feeling safe to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, for sure. But it is still, I think, again, because it was ingrained in me so young, it's still something that I have to work through. Like I definitely, as you know, am feeling a lot more than I was. And I am learning to be able to like talk to people and be open, you know, when I need help or whatever, I'm struggling with something. But there are still a lot of times where I find myself, I'm doing better with the feeling, but like the leaning on people, there's still a lot of times where I'm like in the moment struggling and I have in my head, like I'm so convinced that I want with everything in me to reach out to somebody, but I'm so afraid of being a burden that I just try to write it out and handle it by myself. And so it is still a work in progress.
I mean, just so like, I think it's work in progress is the perfect way to describe anything that any of us go through that are looking mm-hmm. to heal and to grow and evolve. And you recently hit a wall, not very long ago, and said, I don't know what the fuck else I could do
mm-hmm.
to heal. Like I've done the therapy. I've worked with you. Like I've worked with, I don't know if I need another coach. I don't know if I need to, you know, again, it wasn't, I don't want to call it a gift of desperation because I don't think you were desperate. I don't want to talk about it in this episode because it's, we can talk about it in a different episode covering grief, but mm-hmm. you know, your mom died over the summer, mm-hmm. from a long battle with cancer, and it obviously dealing with grief is intense. It's mm-hmm. fucking intense for people who have had families where emotional, is all emotionally healthy and there's none of the any of the negative ways to handle emotions, all super positive, and they still will have intense
mm-hmm.
emotional ranges during grief. But that being said, you did go through this period where instead of backsliding, you chose to say, you know, I don't know what else I needed. I'm sick of myself because I feel like I've done all this work and I've done all this stuff. And now I feel like I'm back at square one again. And one thing to note is when you get into that space, a lot of times you can stumble upon things or people or groups of people who maybe don't have a genuine interest in your journey, but it feels like it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is it? The snake oil salespeople. I'm
mm-hmm. Your favorite.
Gonna go off on a tangent about it, but sticking to the course. You know, you came up against these things. You did ask my opinion. You asked, you know, your dad's opinion. You really took an invested approach to not just like, well, I feel like I should do this or that, or I should, like, it was really like, what do you think? And then listening to what people think and then journaling on, I see your point, but, you know, ABC, like going through the motion of like really thinking out decisions in a way that was very mature and healthy and all of those things. But ultimately, I just said, you've got to get away. Like, you don't, you have not seen enough of the world, and just traveling in and of itself, we all know, is, I find it to be extremely healing and evolving. And I love to travel. I was a flight attendant. So traveling is like, to me, you learn the most about yourself and experience so much. It's through the experiences. And you didn't really understand what the hell I was talking about, because you were like, yeah, what's sitting in a hotel, blah, 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 going to do? And I'm like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. And so
I thought you were talking about like sitting, but yeah, basically like sitting in a class, because that's what I had in mind.
Well, it was like hilarious because we're talking about retreats and I'm like helping her research things. And I'm like, you know, this might be a great opportunity. This would be a good thing. And she's like, I really just want to see outside. I really just want like the views and like to be able to connect with the earth. And I'm like, yeah, what do you think I'm talking about? And it took my husband, because I'm like, I don't get what she's confused about. Like, I'm talking about retreats and she's like telling me she's going to be sitting in a conference. I'm like, am I saying it wrong? And so Anna has become like family to my whole family, was like, oh, she grew up in Catholic school and stuff. She thinks you're talking about Catholic retreats, which are like educational things. So I finally said, I'm not talking about, like, I'm talking about like a retreat where there's like a schedule. Yes. But like also a lot of growth and healing and independent time. And you were like, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, no, I remember being like, I know, I don't think of this like a Catholic retreat. But then when you, I don't even remember what you asked me, but you said something of like, okay, well, when you think of retreat, what do you think of? And I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah, no, I guess I am thinking of a Catholic retreat.
So
it was
funny.
Not that. Yes, yes, it was not.
Well, so we looked into a couple places and you stumbled upon Sedona, which, hello, I was like, Sedona is a great place to like heal and feel connected and grow spiritually, because in my opinion, that's the muscle that needed to be flexed at the time. Cause you're so analytical, that spiritual connection is more difficult for you. And I think there's a lot of people like you, like, you know, for me, it's like, I can drop into that. Like when we go to yoga together, I'm like, I can't wait for this, like this asana at the end, because I totally get into theta mode. And she's like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, I'm like, I'm out. I don't know what's happening. I'm gone. Like,
oh no. I'm like thinking about what should I cook for lunch, or like the most random, like I cannot, you know, my mind is in 12 million directions. So never
well, in
been
spiritual.
In
yes, you have, I'm sure. But like, so spiritual connection and retreats and all that, that ended up being what you needed at this point in your life. Mm-hmm. And I am so glad you did it. Like, I don't think many people understand the courage that it takes to go. They sent her a Spirit Quest, right? I'm just going to give them a throw out because I think they're awesome.
Oh God, no, they're incredible.
Yeah. Spirit Quest in Sedona. So they sent her this itinerary and I was like, okay, I'm legit fucking jealous of this, like what you're going on. Like, I really want to go on this. She's like, come with me. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, I was close. Actually, I talked to my husband and I was like, I should do it. And then he's like, but you said she does need to do this on her own. Like, you can't go with it. I'm like, but I'll just go and like do my own thing. And he's
well,
like,
that's
that
what
won't happen. That won't happen. But I think like the itinerary given to you and the things that you did exercise wise out there were perfect to grow spirituality, to connect with a different type of energy, to like heal in modalities you had never for sure been really in. And just the growth from that point on has been incredible. So I think in talking about all of the things that you've gone through without sabotaging yourself anymore. Like you have worked little by little by little by little to get to where you are today. And when you look back, it's like, oh shit, like I've like catapulting like light years.
It's insane. Like it's honestly, like I think I said earlier, like it's, you don't think about it, but then when you do look back, you're like, is that even real? Like, I don't even recognize who I was. And I have said before, I have gotten to a place in my life that I truly never thought was possible for me. Like, with everything that I'd been through in my life, with a lot of trauma, and honestly, my whole life just feeling so lost. And like, when I say pain, like it was just like, I don't even know how to describe it, but like,
it was debilitating.
My entire existence, like I truly thought that that's all was ever in the cards for me. Like that life outside of chaos and misery and pain did not truly exist for me. Like it just wasn't a thing. And to be on the other side of that in a healthy, like emotionally, mentally, you know, space is kind of mind blowing. And I mean, it's just like, there's no, like, I just really don't have the words to describe the difference to like really give it justice, because God, it's fucking insane. And for me, that self-awareness piece has just been, like I said, I think the needle that just really like moved things forward was to finally be aware of how the things in my past affect the decisions that I've made and kind of just my everyday, and then learning how to undo that, and then just wanting to continuously grow and become who I've always wanted to be and find the life that I have always wanted. And yeah, it's self-awareness is a bitch, but it's also, I think, one of the greatest gifts. And I just am very thankful and blown away that I've been able to get to where I'm at today.
Well, you've done the work, so it's all on you, which is even more mind-blowing for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, I am. Like we both said, though, there is no finish line in healing. So it's a ongoing process that is not linear, but it is worth all of the pain that it is.
Well, yeah. And I think that, beautifully said, you should be so proud of yourself. And it is never done. And I can remember when we started working together, you were hyper focused on like results, like when's the result of that? Or when's this? And I had, you know, I would say like, you're not going to feel, we're not going to do an exercise and you're going to wake up tomorrow and be like, nailed it, done, on to the next. Like, I'm like, it's going to push and open up more emotion, or help you close a chapter on something that you no longer want to carry, or whatever it may be. And then you are growing. And I remember you used to say a lot, like, I feel like I'm not growing. I feel like nothing's happening. I feel like I'm not it where I should be. And I just said, well, you are, you've grown immensely, and you're not going to notice it until one day you look back and you say, holy shit, I really did this. And I really took myself from this point over to this point. Right. And I think that you have this clarity about you now that is, I mean, I say it all the time, it's enviable the way that you've handled two situations recently, which I'm not going to share, but like that I literally had to sit with my husband and say, dude, she's like fucking like awesome. Like she's like You know, there was one situation where he was like, I wish I could take that and share it with, because my husband is a therapist, with my clients who struggle with some of these things. Because he's like, that is like the poster child for what going from this to this should look like. And the words and the verbiage and the things that she said, like, that's perfect. She's completely transformed that whole belief system and shifted it into something and put herself first, which, like, is not easy for women like you and me. And that's a growth again, you know.
I think I know which one you're talking about, but it was also, and you know, I still struggle with the self-love and self-compassion piece. But that specific situation, I just remember saying, like, I know that I don't feel love for myself and I want to get there, but I can't get there until I make the choice. Like, at that point, it was like a cognitive choice of being like, the only way that I can finally get to the point of loving myself is to just start taking the steps to that. And so while in that moment, it wasn't like I felt the love for myself, it was like it was a logical, like, decision. And, you know, knowing that those decisions will just eventually lead to having that feeling. And I think for me, I mean, even in Sedona and after Sedona, I had in my mind that, like, and like you said earlier, I kept wanting the results immediately. And like in Sedona, I was like, okay, I'm going to get home. And like, it's almost like this is like a magic pill. And all of a sudden I'm going to finally feel connected to myself. And I'm going to, you know, learn to love myself and all of these things that I know that I've been missing. And the practitioners that I saw there had to keep reminding me, no, it's a practice. Like, you have hated yourself and have not known that love for your entire life. Like, it's not going to happen overnight. So it's a practice. It's making that choice every day, multiple times a day, to reframe your beliefs and to reframe, like, how you look at things, the way that you word things.
Even saying things like, you know, I've never felt worthy, or I don't feel worthy, or I have never been able to do X, Y, and Z, or I can't feel connected to myself. It's flipping that narrative and saying, I used to not be able to feel connected to myself, or I used to not feel worthy. Because when you flip that, you know, like, thoughts become energy. And so when you flip that, you're no longer basically affirming or reaffirming those old belief systems. You're changing the narrative to say, like, okay, that's in the past, but now I am worthy, or I'm learning to feel worthy, or I'm learning to be connected to myself and my body and, you know, who I am at my core.
Well, yeah. And I think just in encapsulating, that was perfect way, of course, to say it, because you're so good with words. Oh, no, that was perfect though. But like, you looking, I like the way that you talked about reframing, and you discussed practice, because here's the thing. A lot of people, and some of you listening right now may feel this way, think that self-awareness is about introspection and asking ourselves, why do I feel this way? Why is this happening? Why do I keep doing this? Why? Right. But the problem with introspection, honestly, is that it's like not as effective for people to become self-aware, because most people are doing it wrong. But it also is, I'm trying to think of the, like, so The most common introspective question is why, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we ask ourselves why and we do some introspective work, not to say that it's not needed, but my point in saying this is it's not effective in self-awareness necessarily, because we can keep digging and digging and digging, and then we start making up why we feel a certain way. We don't know. We're making stuff up, and then you become confident that you're right in the shit that you're making up about the emotions you're feeling. And that's why people think self-awareness is bullshit, honestly, like, because they're doing it. It's like how they're doing it is incorrect. So what we need to ask ourselves, right, is what, right? So instead of why did I do that? You know, it's like, what was I thinking to cause myself to do X, Y, and Z, which basically is, by the way, what you just said. You know, like, I'm going to look at what questions help me stay objective, future focused, empowered to act on my new insights about what those questions are. So you stumble upon the right questions by reframing and practicing new things that you've learned, even when they feel like they're not working, which you are very good at. I will say one of the most inspiring people I've seen when it comes to committing to doing shit, even when you don't feel its effects, you're very consistent and you're very committed to stuff that you choose to do. So that's what it takes, though, is to sit and say, like, what am I doing that's not working? Not why do I keep feeling like shit? You started when we started working together. It was, why am I doing this? Why does this keep happening? And if you notice, over the last 24 months now, you've shifted to what? What thought makes me think that I can't do this? Or what thought makes me think I'm unlovable? Or what? You're looking into core beliefs and more about insight into what is causing it. And then you are now able and capable to reframe and to flip the script and to say, okay, well, what future focused thing is going to help me develop this more and eradicate that belief, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly like you said, and as we both know, why has been my favorite question because as an over analytical person, I have this like need to understand everything, even asking why, trying to understand irrational things like why am I feeling the way that I am? But like, ooh, why? but like you said, it's asking the right questions. So asking like what and getting to the core belief or the origination of that core belief. So like you said, dropping the self-judgment and deciding to kind of become the observer of your past experiences and getting curious about like what's keeping you stuck. So what are the limiting beliefs or stories you tell yourself and like other people, and then like kind of tracing that back to where that originated, or like what are you affirming and where did that stem from? Like, I was doing this course that you told me to do, The Real Love Revolution by Terry Cole, and I remember a part of it was talking about like, okay, you got to write down your strengths. And then the next part was, where do you think those strengths originated from? Because all of those strengths kind of came from somewhere. More than likely, it came from your childhood, whether it's, I don't know if overcompensating is the right word, but like for me, my strengths, like some of my strengths would be like I'm loyal and I show up for people and I am empathetic and understanding and like I love people so hard. And so many of those things stem from the fact that those were all things that I was lacking growing up. Like I did not feel seen or heard and I did not feel loved, and so my strengths then became my way, I think, to like make up for what I didn't have in my childhood. So again, finding where that story originated and reframing that.
I don't know. Like you said, when you...
Well, and so, and then you ask yourself, what do I need to do to move forward in the way that minimizes the impact that this is having on me, right?
Right. Yeah.
So then that moves into the what. And so then you're looking at self-awareness as it should be looked at, which is, it's not one truth. You're not becoming self-aware and going to find like, oh, that's it. That's me in one mantra, one sentence. Like, it's ever evolving, and it's external as much as it is internal. And I think once people recognize that, the power of healing the trauma and becoming self-aware is infinite, and you have created infinite possibilities for yourself by becoming self-aware and understanding the balance between external and internal, whether or not someone has to shove you into it and you're willing to just take the leap, or you're doing it yourself and, you know, more power to you. Like, you're taking one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, and slowly but surely healing and becoming more self-aware every day. You're off autopilot, right?
Yeah, it is. It is good to be able to be aware and present, and not just stumbling your way through life. So,
all good. I'm glad you're not stumbling anymore. And thank you for coming on today. I appreciate it.
No, of course. Thanks for having me.
We can have you on at a later date and go into some other topics that would help a lot of other people understand how it works. So
I feel like we probably have lots of those.
But thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. And I'm sure all the listeners will appreciate it as well.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. See you guys next week. See you later.
Loved this episode of the Desperately Seeking Self podcast? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. I really appreciate it. And thanks for listening. For free resources and materials, head over to my website at innovativecoachbrooke.com. Thanks so much. Have a good week.